Today is Sunday, March 13th, 2022, and we have a very wintry week here, so those of you looking at me from Brooklyn, don't think we're in Florida here, but the week afterwards, you'll be sorry you're not here. Jack, I just want to mention, you leave messages, but your voice is not clear. It's like you're talking to yourself. So please be aware, you have to talk into the mic. But I just want to relate, regarding the history of the yeshiva world, I'd like to know who's teaching it, but that has nothing to do with what I do, zelichud v'zelichud. If you listen to him, you'll listen to me, and in 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, you compare the two. You'll come out with the book, Yeshiva World as Seen by Rakefid, and the other person you're talking about.
No, the other person, he missed the recording, who was you. I started listening to you 2006, and you were doing a marvelous job.
What are you referring to, a marvelous what? But who's the other person who's talking about the yeshiva world?
No, you. My attempt at humor. I went back.
Oh,
to
that's
to
my lecture. Forget about that. That was an Irish kite. Wait till you hear what I have prepared. Okay, let me talk quickly. Yomo, you got Yomo. Mark, you got to turn everyone off. Did you turn everyone off?
Okay.
He can because he's okay. Regarding indexing, a lot of people are trying to figure out how to index my shiurim. The problem is that I speak three different languages. And no program has yet come up that can handle English, Yiddish, and Hebrew. So they're working on it. Money would be the small factor. The question is how it can be done. So if you come up with any good idea, I'll tell you who to be in touch with. Regarding Houston, I love them. I appreciate all their good words. But right now, my wife... we can't travel right now. Age, health, etc. And B'ezrat Hashem, if the day comes, the only place or the first place I will go to is Houston, Texas. Regarding getting married, easy, divorce is hard. You should look at today's Jerusalem Post. They have one aim in mind, to uproot and destroy and negate and abrogate Torah Hashem. It's frightening, the article they published today. You're right, to get married is easy. Look at the Rambam of Hilchot Ishut, Perek Aleph, right at the start. You go in with the woman to the cave, and you have relations, and you're married. To get divorced is a lot harder for many reasons, Eshetish and children. But Baruch Hashem, I am a Catholic. I'm opposed to divorce. When people marry, they have to understand it's a serious business. They have to learn one word, compromise. If they don't know that word, they're not allowed to get married, in my opinion. But what can I do? The Torah is smarter than I am, and the Torah allows for divorce. The students have told me, Rebbe, my parents were throwing dishes at each other. Better they should be divorced than I should get hit by a dish. But divorce, you have to know what you're doing, and how do you separate between a man and woman who were intimate? We're not animals, so it's a serious business. Ain't hachinami. Reb Menashe Klein, as I have not hit upon any direct relationship between him and the Safmuruv. There was a relationship with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he was quite open. There was a relationship with the YU world, and I didn't hit upon any direct relationship. But halacha lemaisa, Reb Menashe Klein was an agudist. His daughter married into the Gera family, the Gera Rebbe's son, and he was killed in a bus accident in Geula. I think it was Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and he was a giant, they tell me, of Torah. Ach. But he was an agudist, and an agudist, as we will see, and the Rebbe and the Safmuruv do not get along too well. Jack thinks I'll be finished with Safma in a few weeks. I think a few years will be more correct, but leave it to tomorrow. That's to answer that question. I thank Jack. We spoke about the 25 cents I got for saying Shema Yisrael for my grandfather's foreman in Pechter's Bakery. Jack did the chishuv, and it comes to $4 today. So imagine a kid of 7 or 6 says Shema Yisrael, and he gets four, I think even in Teaneck, $4 for a little kid is still a little money. Howie, am I right or wrong? I don't know. In Teaneck, you got to be careful. The question, Jack, that you raised, Rambam versus Tosfot, what you're touching upon is two different approaches. You're talking upon the Rav Ovadia Yosef versus Rav Chaim Brisker. There's no two ways about it. The Rambam was more halachically inclined. What he did in putting together all of Shas Halacha L'maisa without a computer, until today I'm overwhelmed by the Rambam. On the other hand, the Rav always used to say, as much as I admire the Rambam, without Rashi we wouldn't understand the Daf Gemara. And Tosfot already adds an additional level. Now, I'll tell you who deals with it in his writings, and that's my classmate, Rabbi Dr. Professor Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the Grach. And if you open up for some of his writings, particularly on Stam Yenam, you'll see that, and other articles that he's published on the Balei Tosfot, you'll see he touches upon it, and it's two different worlds. And I've touched upon it 1,000 times over the last 62 years of teaching Torah. The way Reb Moshe Paskins is Shaila compared to Rav Ovadia, you're dealing with two totally different approaches. Reb Moshe is the Balei Tosfot, and Rav Ovadia is the Rambam. It's a simplistic way, but I'm well aware of it, and it's not something you can answer in a minute. It requires 99 years of study in depth, and then you'll be able to handle it l'kavod l'tiferet. Now, you made one other comment, and I just want to answer all your questions because I want to keep my record straight that I've answered, outside of two letters I got, I've answered every question I ever got in my life and every letter. Those two letters I explained to you, it's not for now, why I refused to answer them. One had to do with Satmo, and one had to do, I don't even want to mishkevei zacha, God have mercy, the world we're living in today. Okay, I just want to say, Jack, you say that Satma, their behavior reflects poorly. Yeah, it depends on your point of view. To you it reflects poorly. To them it's the Vah Hashem, Zu Halacha. We have to be concerned with Jack Levinstein, with Aaron Rakefet. Ribbono shel olam, there are bikurim, amratza, amayaretz, eisvavs, trumpenics, etc. Okay. Vic, what's your problem?
No, they're not our
Jews. Vic says they're not, I'll put it this way, I don't want to be as extreme as you. They say it's nicht vom unserer. Remember my lectures? Okay, Bill, that hits the nail on the head. Now, I just want to make some corrections. Stewie Pilichatsky, I got mixed up with two generations, but it really doesn't matter because B'nai Banim Harem Kabanim. Stewie was my Talmud. The one who I was quoting is his son. And Stewie is very proud. My son and his family live in Mitzpah Yericho, where, by the way, his wife is the mayor. No small feat for an American Olah. So I wrote back, American Olah, he's talking about her. So I wrote back to him, if someone would have told me when I got off the boat that my daughter would be appointing Dayanim 50, I would have said, you're crazy. So Baruch Hashem, no small achievement. Next week they're meeting again. I keep on pressing my daughter, what's happening? But you see, the committee is finished. She's made the recommendations. It's in the hands of the politicians, and each one is too busy now with the Ukraine and Russia. Maybe within a year there'll be the meeting that will be decisive, I'll put it that way. Also, I spoke about Rabbi Zuber of Boston, and I've got a number of people wrote to me. I said he was killed in a car crash. That's what I was told 60 years ago. They gave me sources. He was killed in a holdup, and it was never solved. It seems he was on a park bench, and he was mugged, and they found an empty, his wallet was empty, and he was dead. And it breaks the heart. And I want to correct myself too. His brother his brother, who I knew very well, sixth Rebbe said to him, Talmud Chacham bisto aval efshe zayta Talmud Chacham aval du bista shegets. I said in Eisvaf, I think the shegets is the correct rendering. All right, this is small. Finally, one second, I just want to be sure before I roll into... Oh, I can't crawl out of my machloikis with my dear student, Rabbi Grunstein, the son of a second-generation student. His father, Zichrono Livracha, was my student in BMT more than 50 years ago, and he was still my student. And look, there are Jews all over the world. There's no bigger Zionist than Aaron Rakefet. When I go and travel, and I was, let's take Teaneck, New Jersey, I was there many times, and I see all those Jews living there, I am furious. What are they doing in Teaneck? However, if I'm going to get up and say to them, get out and leave, no one's going to listen to me. They're just going to write me out of the book. And there's a certain reality that Jews are still over the world. Lubavitch does a very good job of creating Jews. Once you create Jews, a good percentage come in Aliyah. So I understand what you say, Lubavitch encourages them. And as I raised the issue on Shabbos, we were together four generations. So I raised the issue, will the Jews from the Ukraine go back to the Ukraine if peace is achieved? Bennett is working on it, Dave, you know what's going on. And the Ukraine can't win, Russia's conquering them. Russia will pay a tremendous price because there's going to be guerrilla warfare. They gave out weapons and tens of thousands of Russians will be killed. But evidently to Putin it doesn't matter as long as he conquers the Ukraine. So let's say they make some agreement, Ukraine gives up land, will people go back and live there? And I said, some will go back. And then again, my children looked at me, you know, my grandchildren who are totally integrated here. And I said, look, you have to understand, people speak the language. They were brought up there. They know the ins and outs. I said, when we came in Aliyah, it was much more difficult than today. Today you have Nefesh B'Nefesh. Today you have Beit Shemesh, which is the only community in Chutz Laretz that observes one day Yontif. You understand? In Beit Shemesh, there's a problem. The kids don't know Hebrew. So you have to understand, lo aleinu, there will always be communities in Chutz Laretz, at least until Mashiach Zakenu comes. So I'm not here to criticize Chabad. I understand them, and kol hakavod to what they're doing. Do I wish they were religious Zionists like me? Yeah, 100%. You know my viewpoint. I've told it in Chabad. No one's assassinated me. I said that if the 7th Rebbe had come in Aliyah to Hebron in 1968, Israel would be a totally different state than it is. And I stand on it. I said in Lakewood when they honored me, no one assassinated me. I said if Rabbi Aaron Kotler had come to Israel where his family was, Rabbi Zalman, he would have been one of the greatest religious Zionists. And you all know, Rabbi Zalman's son, Rabbi Yehuda Meltzer, is the founder of the first Hesder Yeshiva in Israel. It's not KBY, it's Hadarom. No one realizes historically that Hadarom was ahead of KBY. Okay. And finally, I have to say, I was sent Israel Shiner sent me an appreciation of Gedolei Israel by Rav Avram Wilner. He writes about it, Rav Shmayahu Shulman. So there's a story in here that you have no idea. It brought tears to my eyes, and mamish, I recognized the sprach, the language. Abba, my dear classmate, colleague, Rabbi Abba Brunspiegel, who needs a refuah shlema. So Rabbi Avraham Brunspiegel told the Rav Shmayahu Shulman, I spoke about him, I don't have time now, he was a very interesting individual, a first-rate Talmud Chacham, Vic is laughing, he knew him, and he was very open. He was at home all the way from YU to Lakewood and everything in between. And Rabbi Avraham Brunspiegel told the one time, Rabbi Shmuel Volk, I apologize, you won't start to understand this, you have to know what I'm talking about. And Mark, you have to know a little later, Shmuel Volk, so go, it was my last Rebbe before the Rav. I had 4 years of college, 2 years Rabbi Volk, and then the next 2 years, and then two more years, smicha, Moriah Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Shmuel Volk, the greatest Gaon in Kodshim and Taret. And read Rakefet's work of Washington. He was lost in America, but he was a Gaon idea. So one time Rabbi Braunschweig, a little Abba, meets him, and he's coming out of his class. He says, Abba, yetz will ich sehen eid rav kenepis in Taret. You know, I'm going to test the Rav. He was going, I could just see Rav Volk with his little smile on his face. He's going to throw a curveball. They're going to go, yes, the Rav Shailin Taret. No, you just gave a shiur. Rabbi Daklu, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Wiener just gave a shiur. Someone's going to come and ask you in Taret. You know, you're going to be able to answer. Suddenly, think, look. Goes 10 minutes later, he comes back, or 15 later, he says, Papa, I can. He knows. Oh, I love it. Now back here. Gentlemen, Shalit and Shu.
The interview with him is on the Svarim blog.
That's what he said. That's what he sent me.
Yes. It's
the Svarim blog.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I spoke about it last time. This is the second part, and that's what they sent me. All right, now back here. So Jack says that the way I teach Shalit and Shuvit, it's a whole, I can't get involved now on this little machlokes, whether I should devote myself to the history of Torah full time or split myself in half. So Jack says the way I teach Shalit and Shuvit is very different than others. Okay, let me tell you how it began. In graduate school, we had a professor that I've quoted quite often. I did my master's under him. Dr. Jacob Agus. Irvin Agus. I'm confusing the brothers. Jacob Agus was a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik and Rabbi Dov Revel, and later became a Reconstructionist rabbi. Figure that one out. I think he was involved with the tshuva that permitted driving to shul on Shabbos, Lo Aleinu. So his brother, and this is a from Jew, there was a third one, Agushevitz is the original name, who was a doctor, also from, and there was an uncle who I don't think ever married, who sat in the public library on 42nd Street, was a Gaon Adir. Professor Mark Steiner, who died in the first wave of Corona, did two volumes in Yiddish about his teachings, and he was something special. Erwin Agus had a PhD, and he was an interesting individual. And one time he shouts, and he had a reputation for coming up with wild statements. And one time he shouts at the class, we could write all of Jewish history from the responsa literature. And I remember we looked at him, he's shouting again, he's commandeering, he's making statements that he could never back up. All right, I heard that statement from him, let's say for the sake of argument, in 1957. So it's now, 70 years later, more or less. I have to tell you, he's absolutely right. You take a tshuva like this, I'm picking up where I left off the last class, Mishnah Halachot, Chelek, Tet Zayin, Siman Pei Dalet. Tshuva written in 2001, and there is so much beneath this tshuva, you can reconstruct history. And let me begin at the beginning. This tshuva is from Philadelphia. If you see here the low level of Yiddishkeit in America, and you see here the miracle of the rebirth. The low level, and I know the family. I'm not going to mention the name, although the truth is I could mention the name, but I did teach members of the family, and I don't want to embarrass the last name. But it happens, I know exactly who's involved, because my first rabbinate was basically in Philadelphia, 1961, 1962. And here you have, what happened was, it's a Yerushalmi family, old-time Purushim, related to Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, related to Reb Moshe Parish, Reb Menachem Parish, related to the heart of the Talmidim of the Gra. related to Professor Shmuel Kalman Mirsky. You can go on and on. They're all interrelated cousins, married in. And after World War I, people were stopping here. This is the truth. And many came to the United States. And this family came out up in Philadelphia. The father of the family was a sheikhet in Philadelphia. He later dies in a terrible accident. He was in a car with other sheikhtim. They were coming home after working, and a truck behind them that had construction material hit a bump, and suddenly everything went flying, and one of the bricks went flying and hit their father on the head and killed him in the car. A young man leaving a mother with, I think, seven children, to raise on her own. And each son is an interesting story, what he became. Some remained Orthodox. One became a Reform rabbi, anything to make money. And that Reform rabbi later goes to jail. When it comes to sex, there's no achrayat on any person that he won't sin. Ain't apitrepeth al arayat, as Chazal say. And I don't want to go into any more detail. The same story happened here in Israel many years later with a YU graduate. I almost fainted. I hear on the news, it was my mother had married, second marriage into his family. And I called my mother, Mom, do you know it was just on the news? It was 7 p.m. I remember like yesterday. He's arrested. He wound up in jail for many years. So my mother says, he was always disrespectful of his father-in-law. His father-in-law married my mother, Zivik Shaney. They were married 17, 18 beautiful years. And my mother is always disrespectful. I said, Mom, he did a lot worse than that. You follow? One thing to be disrespectful of your father-in-law. So one brother went to jail. And one brother, the eldest brother, was a Rav, a Mohel, and his Britat and Shabbos, he drove. And as I told you, I told him off, and he said to me, what kind of Amoritz, was for an Amoritz bistu? What kind of Amoritz are you? The Machlaikis in the Gemara, Kuflamet, Kuflalamet, Shabbos, Hechshirei Mila, Doche Shabbat, not Doche Shabbat. I'm passing like Rebbe Eliezer, it's Doche Shabbat. If I don't come to the Brit, there'll be no Brit. So he drove. Okay, you should know that this came back to haunt me. Many decades later, I get a call from a chashuv, a rav in New Jersey. One of the people he converted was from a family I was very close. And later became very close. I didn't know this is the second. I was close to the first generation, the second generation. And because of our influence in Chabad, the family came back to Yiddishkeit. And now they're worried, is she Jewish? He converted this lady, and now she's become a Shomeret Shabbat. And they asked details, who converted you? And she mentioned the name. He was the Rav who did the conversion. They called me. They said, she said, you know the family. Oh, no. Bill, what are you paskin? You understand? What a question. What a question.
Yes.
And she's a mother of children. It's not so simple, Gil Lechomber. They're three little children. Four. Okay. Anyway, I answered what I answered, and I don't know what they did. But so that's one side of the issue, that America is total hefkerit. You can do whatever you want. You can act whatever you want. And here's someone wearing a yarmulke, drives on Shabbos, does a Brit Milah, does conversions, and in Philadelphia, he had a monopoly, basically. Everyone knew him as the Mohel, and I need not tell you, in two contemporary times, there was practically no Orthodox Jew in Philadelphia. What caused it is a different story. It's not for now, but Rabbi Leventhal ruled with an iron hand, and he kept out YU graduates. He didn't want competition. In other words, they used to say about Rabbi Leventhal, his own son became a conservative rabbi, as you know, that's Brooklyn Jewish Center, that's how, you know my lectures, that's how Chabad gets the 770. And he kept out, and it may be true, it may not be true, but halacha lemaisa, there was no prominent Orthodox rabbi or prominent Orthodox shul until contemporary times. And therefore, this rabbi, I don't want to mention his name, could be the mall and had tremendous business, the conservative temples, whatever little Orthodox remnant there was, he was the mohel. Okay, so that's one part that you see from the tshuva. The other part you see from the tshuva, and this too is, if you read contemporary response literature, this comes up time and again. No one ever dreamt there would be Balei Tshuva. When, as I've told you more than once, I grew up in the Bronx, over 700,000 Jews in the Bronx where I grew up. This is a fact. I don't think there were 10 Shema Shabbos families. I don't think. Maybe around Reb Moshe Bick in the East Bronx, where already in the 50s was a sakana to walk the streets, there you had some Shema Shabbos families. But, you know, Lauren Bacall grew up there. No, just think. Powell, Secretary of State, had the Ken Kut Yiddish. He knew Yiddish better than Mark, because everyone in the East Bronx, every store spoke Yiddish. He worked for a furniture store. He delivered. I remember in Philadelphia when we got our baby furniture for our eldest daughter, so the Afro-Americans bring it in, Mazel Tov, so Chavin Gring, and we couldn't believe our ears. They said they grew up in Strawberry Mansion, South Philly, and they knew Yiddish from all their Jewish neighbors. And no one ever dreamt, everyone was running away from Yiddishkeit. It was so sad to see. And I don't have to elaborate. We've lost millions and millions of assimilation into marriage. It's no religion in my family, in other families. It's we have a cousin who every time my brother runs, he has time. I don't have time for these things. My brother lectures. He's still teaching, but he teaches the same text every year. You have to understand, he's in medical school, you're teaching. No, they don't change the text. His older brother, yours truly, since the day he came in Aliyah, hasn't given a lecture from a text, and every shayur is created by yours truly, by these 10 fingers. So I don't have time, but he has genie and everyone's birthday, and we have a cousin who we thought was raised a Catholic, and he writes everyone good wishes, and he has no religion today. It's like Americans, no religion. His mother died, and we couldn't believe it. She has to be very Jewish. Whoever dreamt there'd be Balei Tshuva? And we have a miracle today, and this Shaila represents the miracle. Here, you grow up, you find out Jewish, your parents tell you you had a Brit Milah, you learn in Ur Sameach, you learn in Yesh, Eish, Hatera, your Chabad, I don't know, YU, Jewish Studies Program, whatever it's called today, and you find out a Brit Milah has to be done properly. And this poor kid, yes, Gemalti is, but who did it? A doctor, a Machalos Shabbos, an Ochlein Nevelet and Treifat, an Apikoiris? Is this a good Mila? Now, this is a very basic question. In a way, it resembles everything we spoke about with shaving. And the question is, and again, it's how you read the Truma Tedeshin. Is it how you shave, or the end result? If it's a question of how you shave, then scissors are mutter, an electric shaver is mutter. If the end result, Howie, is ke'ein tar, you follow not the way you look. You look like half shaven, half not. But if it's smooth like this, it's forbidden. Follow? Then that's the shaila, basically. Okay, don't get scared. Halacha l'maisa, there's no doubt in my mind you're permitted to shave as long as it's done. I mean, I can't be any smarter than my Rebbe, and as I've told you 1,000 times, the Rav took a partner to Relko, and these were his words. I don't see a difference. It works like a shik, like Shrek of Remington, except it goes in a circle. But the blade can't cut without the God. That's what the Rav said. And that's the way, the basic understanding of the Truma Tedeshin is that way. And that's the way the Ramah understood it, etc. Now, here the question is, what do you mean by Brit Mila? Is it the end result, or is it the way you do it, the fashion in which it's done? If it's the end result, no, gemalt is gemalt. Brit Mila is a Brit Mila. You can't paste it back on again. You can't do a second Brit Mila. It's simply physically, biologically impossible. Or no, that it was done not properly. It was not done by a good Jew. And at least we do whatever we can, meaning hatafat dam Brit. And you all know that this is a fascinating question. Hatafatam Brit, and we face this halacha l'maisa. You have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, came in Aliyah from the former Soviet Empire, Soviet Union, and some of them had a Brit Mila, but not done by a Jew, done by a doctor, done. Totally incorrect in the sense, long after the eighth day, do you need a tafatam Brit? And you should know that in the state of Israel, in every hospital, there are frum doctors who volunteer to do the britat for nothing. Hundreds of thousands, if not certainly tens and tens of thousands of britat, and many times it was just a tafatam Brit. That's all that you had to do was done here in Israel. I understand in America too, but it's not as well organized and as mechubedik as the way they do it here, where it's really bekavod. In all the hospitals, I need not tell you the religious hospitals like Shaarei Tzedek, and in Netanya, the Kloizenberger Rebbe's hospital, Laniado, and then there's Meinei Yeshuan B'nei Brak. There, wow, they really did, they advertise wonderful work. Nu d'yanir ha-tafadam Brit. Well, if anyone, the Rav taught us, if someone wakes you up in the middle of the night and you ask a shayla, that's when you get the balabatasha answer, the common sense answer. Well, you know, your gut reaction. Someone wakes you up, Natan, in the middle of the night and says, what do you think? You know what your answer has to be? All that matters is the result. Bring me a proof, the simplest proof in the world. There are two britot mentioned in the Torah. One is Avraham Avinu. All right, Avraham Avinu did the Brit Mila, Yitzchak, Avraham himself, no Shaila. It's even before Matan Torah. Tell me, when's the other Brit mentioned? Yocheved, Moshe Rabbeinu, the children. The angel wants to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. And his wife does the Brit Mila on the two boys. So what do you see? What counts is the result. Now, this you should know is the heart of the question. It's the result. It's the way we paskin. Let me give you the source. It's an interesting shayla, I mean, and it's interesting, you can recreate history. Dr. Agus is right. And I can tell you about Dr. Agus, let me go one step further, recreating history. You should know when I was a junior in college, they announced a $50 bond prize. Someone contributed the money, I mean, for an essay, an original essay, on Jewish history. Yours truly, it's the first article I ever published. It was published afterwards in Jewish Life. A few years later, then it's republished in Rakafet Aron, Chelek Aleph. And a lot of people here saw the article, got in touch with me. People have published it and done more research. What did I publish on? I was always interested in Gedolei Yisrael. Whatever the reasons are, when I deal with the history of the yeshiva in modern times, I'll tell you why I got that interest. And 1924, the Mashkiach, Rav Yaakov Moshe Cohen Lessen, visited America. He told me, explained to me, with the Slabodka Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Mordechai, part of a rabbinical delegation. My research was called the Rabbinical Delegation Visit 1924. It was the Central Relief Committee brought to America Rav Ram Yitzhak HaKohen Cook, the chief rabbi of Palestine, and Rav Avram Dovber Kahana Shapiro, the Kovner Rav, the Deva Avraham, and Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slabodka. And Rav Lessen told me stories. I write about it in Washington. I've spoken about it. You'll see. So I was so fascinated. I did that research. I hand in my paper, and the committee votes me the best. And Dr. Agus was furious, I'm told. Not that he was mad at me. Quote, "This is a paper on American Jewry. There is no American Jewish history. It's only assimilation and intermarriage and apikorsis and reform and conservative. This is not Jewish history." And he was opposed to my getting the prize, not because he loved Rothkopf, but that's your research? It's not Jewish history. No, what do you say? Is he right or wrong? Think about it, Mark. And this, you see, from the tshuva, that this mohel, that imagine he tells Rabbi Rothkopf of Lower Merion Synagogue, what are you, an Amoritz? I paskin like Rebbe Eliezer. Okay. Rabbi Dr. Regis was not far off. Now, the sources, Yoredeya, Resh, Samach, Dalad, Sif, Katan, Aleph. Sif, Aleph, I should say. Right? Am I right, Mark? Sif, Aleph. Resh, Siman, Resh, Samach, Dalad, Sif, Aleph. And take a look. Aval, this is the Shulchan Aruch I'm reading. Aval, Avit, Chachab, Mafilu, Humahul, Lo Yimol, Klal. That a guy, tell me, who's a guy? And what about a Mechalel Shabbos? Isn't he considered like a guy? In other words, it can be a real guy or it can be a Jewish guy, perhaps. Even if he's circumcised, he's not allowed to do the Brit. The Immo Ein Tzarech Lachzov L'Amo Pam Shniyah. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, black and white. The end results counts. And look into the Taz, Sif Katan Gimel, the Lo Matzinu B'Torah Mila Lishma. That's very fascinating. We don't find in the Torah a concept that if it's not done Lishma, you're not Yotze. It's what I said to Natan. Moshe Rabbeinu's wife did the Brit Milah. How can a woman do the Brit Milah? She's not Chayevet Milah. Right or wrong? I have, by the way, I gave a long philosophic lectures on why a woman, where the Brit is, an open Gemara on him, but it's not for now. It's a lot to be said, you know. I mean, but Baruch Hashem, the feminists, at least one thing they can't say, we don't demand the Brit Milah like a man. Thank God they're not so stupid, but... There's a lot to be said. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, but it's not for now. Okay. So this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Yesh Omrim, now the Ramah, the Chayavim Lagzal Hatif Midmenu Dam Brit. The Kain Ika. The Ramah already is machmir, meaning that Enoch Inami, you can't do a Brit Milah a second time. Once you've done it once, that's it. But it had no meaning. It had no feeling. It didn't have the overtone of a Brit Milah. what it means to a Jew, and therefore we do what we can. And what can we do? Hatafat dam brit. We want to draw blood. It's symbolic. What is the brit milah? It's showing, all right, we can't do an entire brit, but at least we're drawing blood, the covenant between the Jew and then you can darshan endlessly what hatafat dam brit means. Unfortunately, a good deal of Yiddishkeit underlined the nafshecha. We've paid with a lot of blood for our commitment to Torah, our commitment to God. And then the Ramah goes further. Muma l'chol haTorah kulo. That's someone who is totally non-observant. Oshahu mumala areilut dino ka'ovat kachavim. That someone who's opposed to Brit Milah, he had more on sea. I have to give the Supreme Court credit. This is Supreme Court is not exactly here a bastion of Torah understanding. It's a lot better today than it was, but we still have a long way to go. But I remember years ago, I don't know, time flies, it may be 10 years ago, 20 years ago, some of the left-wing people went to the Supreme Court to outlaw circumcision because you're doing an operation on a child who is not giving his approval. You heard about this or not? I understand that America is also a group that thinks like that. Having said to the Supreme Court, they refused to hear it. They said, this is not something for us. This is a joke. We can't accept it seriously. And they refused to allow them to present their case. You know, they don't have to take every case that comes up. And this they totally dismissed. But someone who's opposed, how can you do a Brit Milah? You're opposed. That has no meaning. Ovet kuchavim, you're an idol worshiper. Of course, this is the whole question of Machalu Shabbos. What's his status? Bisman hazeh. And you look into the Shach, right in Sifkotten Dalet, right in Sifkotten Dalet, look into the Shach, that someone who's an arel on principle, he's only a mumah farelut, but for the rest of the Torah, he's not a mumah. See, it's interesting. But a mechalel Shabbos is a mumah l'chol haTorah kula. And I'll explain to you why. Why is Shmirat Shabbat the touchstone? Why do we say a machalo Shabbos is yainam stam yainam, his bread is gayisha bread? I'll tell you what the problem is. You see, in the modern world, you see it black and white. No one believes in God today. No one believes in God. In Europe, the churches are basically empty on Sunday. In America, outside of the Bible Belt, the churches are empty on Sunday. No one believes. It's like my cousin wrote to my brother. He's not Jewish, he's not Catholic. He has no religion. And you'll hear that time and time again. Take this Julia Hart, who became so famous. Now she's infamous. I can't believe what happened here, because it's mamish. The Jerusalem Post declared her one of the 50 most influential Jews in the world. Now it turns out just a streetwalker, plain and simple. And it's not over yet, because the Italian guy is suing her for millions and millions. No, she had no religion, Beis Yaakov, no Judaism, he marries a guy, and she doesn't convert to Goyishism. No religion. You see, when there's no God, then of course, you determine everything. You don't have to listen to rabbis, don't have to listen to anyone. You are the ultimate arbiter of what is correct, what you can do, how you can live. when you make Kiddush Friday night, there's acknowledgement, there's a God. At that moment, you've turned the corner. By Yerva Yevoka, there's a creation. There's a God. Zeichel Amaseh Bereshit. Zeichel Yetziat Mitzrayim. And the Ramban, I don't have time now to go into detail, but the Ramban there is very powerful. And that's the touchstone. Once there is a Shabbat in your life, there is a God in your life. Now, not everyone becomes totally from it first, but you see, that's the starting point. Once there's Kiddush, once there's what we talk here, Mesoratiyim, Shas was built on Mesoratiyim, who never stopped making Kiddush. And afterwards, they turned on the television, etc., they went to a soccer game in the afternoon, but the basis was there. You could talk to them. And Shas became very powerful. The Baal Tshuva movement.
Did you say that about other mitzvahs?
No, Shabbos is the basis. Because you see, other mitzvahs, you take Lulav and Etrog. Lulav and Etrog, it's part of being a farmer. Follow? Part of the Israeli experience. You take Shavuot, Bikurim. Even in the Mapam Kibbutzim, they celebrate Shavuot, but nothing to do with God. It had to do with the farmland, the land, our homeland, the Jewish land. Never hear from them say God's land, sacred land. But Kiddush is the transformation. He told me, you're supposed to say it quietly, but say the entire pasuk, etc. You all know the halachot of Kiddush, I don't have to go into it, but the transformation takes place at that point. And you see, this is the whole question. What do you consider an Oved Kachavim and Apikores? What's the touchstone? And then you come to the whole question, is a Mechalo Shabbos in the year 2023? Is he really a Mechalo Shabbos, or is he a Tinok Shenishba? And this is a very delicate question. Julia Hart, is she a Mechalelet Shabbat, or is she a Tinok Shenishba? Okay? I'm not talking about your relatives who were not religious and never went to a day school. They may certainly be Tinochet Shenishbu. But Julia Hart is a classic example. Is she or isn't she? What do you say? Kids grow up, have wonderful education. They throw it all away. You see, we're living in a world where the Western world, the pressure, what do they call it? The woke generation. What does that mean? Can anyone tell me what that means, woke generation? Now, what does it mean? I see it all over Jerusalem Post, woke generation, smoke generation. What does it mean? They wake up to a new world, a new...
They recognize that the world is new.
That's what it means, woke. They awaken.
They recognize that racism is the cause of most of the ills of society.
Racism
is... And unfairness, that's the theory.
And that's what it...
Systemic racism.
And that's why they took Teddy Roosevelt's statue down and redoing history and Columbus. And, you know, that's like the people who claim the Jews, you have slavery in the Bible. Remember the whole machlokes. We have slavery in the Bible, slavery in the world, but we enhanced it. We dignified it. Look into the Rambam or Nevuchim with, again, no time now, but wow, thank you. So I'm right. I said that's what I thought it meant. They wake up to the new world. Okay, racism. Tell me, an anti-Semitism is...
That doesn't
enter the picture. Okay, Hey, Vanti. But you see, this is a very fascinating question. Maybe I have no right to poke fun at Julia Hart. She went to Beis Yaakov, had a good education, but fine, the world came down on her. And it's a word, you understand? We believe in tzniut. The world says today, quote, if you have it, flaunt it. People walk around half naked. What's going on? Isn't there self-respect? Animals walk around without clothes, not humans. It's human dignity. See, it's a clash in an understanding who we are, what we are, where we're coming from. That's why I say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is one. It comes from Him. We can't determine. There's no other deities that are good. And we become deities that we're going to determine what is wrong, what is right, what is ethics, what is morals, how do we live. Ah, Shema. Because people say, what do we have to say? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What else can we do? There's so many concepts today appealing to us. Look what became of the New York Times. So this is a very delicate question. I'll show you sources. And the whole concept of Hatafatam Brit, you can do an actual PhD, a doctoral thesis on it. It's not so simple. There are mob paskins that lachatchila we should do it. You should know, you look into the Pitkei Tshuva, right on the Siman in the Shulchan Aruch, and there are many achronim who come out ultimately against that Hatafatam Brit. It's not required. And we're talking about Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael. Look at the Shagat Aryeh. No one's going to dismiss the Shagat Aryeh. And you see, it all comes back to the basic concept. The Brit Mila was done. It was done incorrectly. It was not done properly. It was not done halakhically. It was not done with religious emotion. But halacha lemaisa, the child is gemalt. Why bother him with a Hatafatam Brit? You see, that's that. The other point of view is, yes, we can't do a proper Brit Mila, but it represents a covenant. Do what you can. At least we can do Hatafatam Brit, that much of the covenant. All right, you'll see the sources, but this is the basic understanding and the most basic source of all. Obviously, when I quote a Shulchan Aruch, when I quote a Ramah, how you can trace it backwards. Every halacha going to the Bach and the Beit Yosef, and you can trace it backwards. But that's the halacha l'maisa. Fine. Okay.
Are we protecting the child so no one ever make a claim that the question is Jewishness?
What are you saying? The first thing I heard in that question, make a what?
To protect the child, the child himself, so that no one...
So, but what are you saying? That Hatafatam Brit has a psychological impact. You're absolutely right. But the other side of the coin is, it's very frightening. A child is older, and you're playing with a very delicate organ. And it's not so simple. I had a very interesting Shaila in the early 70s. I can even date it. It was 1971. And a girl comes to me, a young lady, who was studying with me in Machon Gold. And again, I don't want to mention names. Father was not Jewish. Father was Italian. Mother was Jewish. So she was a very bright girl. And she was learning. And she sees there's a shita in Rashi that it could be if the mother is Jewish and the father is not, that you have to convert. In other words, it's not the way we accept halacha l'maisa, that it always fathers the mother. And she said she checked it out. She sees this is not a shita l'halacha, but the shita is there. Maybe she should convert. So I'll tell you what I came up with. And I went to Rabbanu Lichtenstein, Rabbanu is his first year here, and he agreed with what I paskened. I told the girl, look, Meikadin, you have no problem, you're Jewish. You want to be above the general halach and be absolutely sure. I said, before you get married, when you go to mikveh for the first time, go with the Beit Din. You should know that I taught her son, he used to sit right here, with payas. And he married into my secretary's family, Sherry Levy's family. I studied right here in the Kollel. And I met her years later, and I remember on Rehov Palmach, she was a tourist here, and she thanked me very much for that Eitzah. She said she did it, and it made her feel wonderful. So again, I think psychologically, if the person will insist, again, you have to have a feeling. When you get a shaila, this is why I've spoken about this. It's not advisable. Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin used to be very upset with people who paskin shaylas over the telephone. The shaila, you have to see the person, understand the person. I refuse to talk with any, you know, people hear my lectures, they think who knows what Rekefet is, it can change the world. Halavai could change myself. But I don't like to talk with people who are not my students. They want to consult me. I say, how can I give you advice? I don't know you. I don't know where you're coming from. I'm not a Chassidic Rebbe who can take on everyone and give advice, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. I once saw from the Lubavitch Rebbe, I had a student in Michala. She was gung-ho, a religious Zionist, a Balat Shuvah, terrific. Evidently Chabad got her started. She used to correspond with the Rebbe. So she wrote to the Rebbe, where should she go after Michlala? And the Rebbe, I saw the answer with these eyes, Beit Yaakov Kadima. You follow? And I looked at that letter, the Rebbe sending her. Now, I don't know what happened with her. I lost track. Okay? But you understand, all right, that's a Chassidic Rebbe. It's not me. I'm not a Chassidic Rebbe. Okay, you have to understand me. And you're absolutely right, Howie, what you said, absolutely right. Now, and he says to the person who asked the question, you're absolutely, your sources, you're quoting the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, and who did this original Brit Mila on the Mall? On this kid, a mole with Mechalo Shabbos, right, drove on Shabbos, as I say, I knew him. And here in the first paragraph, the Rabbi Menashe Klein, it shows you he knows America. He says right away, he says in America, most people don't know the importance of Shabbos. And he says, people are educated. They think it's just like any other mitzvah, any other lav. It doesn't stand out in their minds, and they don't take it seriously. And just as they're mezalzel in every other mitzvah, they're mezalzel in Shabbos, but they don't realize how critical Shabbos is to the Jewish gestalt. Okay? And then he says, and we got to remember, this mohel came to America long before we did. After World War I, there were very few Shomer Shabbos Jews in America. There was no one to influence him, to declare the importance. Now, this always came up, and I'll tell you again, I spoke about this years ago. I had a very fascinating incident at Machon Gold. A girl, and these were older women, when I started teaching BMT Gold, you came to Israel your junior year in college or after college. It's only after the Yom Kippur War that this whole concept of coming right after high school began. So I remember I had a lovely young lady in Machon Gold. And she was American. Her parents, I don't know if they were born here, but everyone was in America many, many years. And she met this young man who was a survivor. Parents were Yudapeisha, Brooklyn Jews, Borough Park Jews. And they're ready to get engaged. And his parents were in a turmoil because she was born years before. She was, let's say, 21, 22. Figure out 71, 72, go back, let's say she was born 1950, and his parents were worried she was a bat nida. They were convinced that there were no mikvot in America. And it's the only time I wrote a letter to his parents, and I wrote that I have a doctorate in contemporary Jewish history, and I can state without any doubt that there were mikvot in America. Okay? I don't know if her mother went or didn't go, but that there were mikvot in America.
Oceans and rivers.
No, oceans and rivers, it's not for America. But mikvot in America. Yes, today there are many more mikvot. Today there are beautiful mikvot. I mean, if you would see the mikvah, I saw a mikvah in Las Vegas, you think you were in Hollywood, you understand? Wow, unbelievable. Chabad, the mikvah for women, and now in Israel they're building more beautiful mikvot one by one. All right, I don't say my wife yet went to the mikvah in South Philadelphia. If you want to know why Philadelphia had no from Jews, all you had to do was look at the mikvah they had in Philadelphia in 1961. But he's right. Yeah, how many people went to mikvah? By the way, halacha lemaisa. A bat nida or a ben nida, they're not disqualified. I spoke about this many times, and it could be today there's no pekam at all. The halacha says a pekam, whatever that means, but it's not a halachic disqualification. But chas v'chalila with the balei tshuva, just the opposite, that people b'nei nidot become tzaddikim yesodei olam, gedolei Yisrael, gedolot in Yiret Shemayim, anavat Hashem, anavat Haaretz. So it's not a pekam. I've spoken, I have sources, but very fascinating what he says. Then he says something else. In order to disqualify someone, you have to know that he's a Mechal Shabbos. And he brings sources. Yeah, you have to know he's a Mechalel Shabbos in Beparchesia. All right, it's not enough to be a Mechalel Shabbos. Again, with the touchstone, who is a Mechalel Shabbos? Who has a din of an Oved, a Veidah Zara? It has to be a Mechalel Shabbos Beparchesia. The whole shayla is raised. The stories are told about great Rabbanim come walking in Europe, in America, in Israel. You hear the same story all the time. And someone is smoking. And he sees the Rav, and he throws away the cigarette. No, is he a Mechal Shabbos Beparchesia? You follow, there's a touchstone. It shows you here he is smoking, and here he throws it away. And here, Rav Menashe Klein says, in order to be a Mechal Shabbos, you have to smoke in front of 10 Shemesh Shabbos Jews. You have to do an aveir. He says, where do you have that in America? But he says, could be if it's a Brit Milah and all the Jews are assembled there and among them are 10 Shemesh Shabbos and the car pulls up in Shabbos. It could be that's a Mechal Shabbos for Pechesia. See, Moshe Yishuv, we spoke about in class last Monday, he parked the car two blocks away from the shul in Borough Park. But here, but I have to tell you, you can take my word for it, when this mole showed up to do a Brit Milah in Philadelphia, in Winfield, there were no 10 Shemesh Shabbos there to see it. All right. In addition, he quotes Rebbe Kveger. This is the Rebbe Kveger we quoted in relation to shaving and other questions. Yeah, and this is the Binyan Tzion, Rabbi Yaakov Hettinger. Rabbi Yaakov Hettinger was a Gadol Shebegedolim. It means his Chidushim on Sanhedrin, etc. Remember learning with the Rav? We used it all the time in class. They all, the same concept that no one understands today what Shabbos is all about. The Chilul Shabbos is rampant, and they are the majority. We are the minority, quote, end quote. And they are no more than tinokot shenishba'u. And therefore, the halacha, he paskins, he's inclined to paskin, that we don't have to do hatafatam brit. What this doctor, what this mohel did, all right, he's a mechalel Shabbos, but he doesn't have a status of an oved aved chacham. He doesn't have a status of a mumah, and you don't need a hatafat dam brit. And he says, his language is very fascinating. He says we have to calm ourselves that today, Baruch Hashem, we have so many Balei Tshuva, and he says, I quote him, that many of them, Yireimim, Yishleimim, Talmidei Chachamim, who come from homes that didn't have a trace of Yiddishkeit, and true, they use for Brit Milah, they use doctors, but he says, if the Brit was done on the eighth day, and they had a party, and they remember it as a simcha, we can assume that it was done with some Jewish feeling, and you don't need hatafatam brit. It could very well be that if it was done by a goy, or was done on the fourth day, the fifth day, etc., so then, maybe like the Rama, if you wish, you can do hatafatam brit, that's Latchila, but b'di'eved you wouldn't need hatafat dam brit. Okay. Then he quotes, and here you have to know where he's coming from. Rabbi Nasha Klein is a Europäische, Ungarische, and the Hungarian world, two names stand out more than anyone else. One is the Chatam Sefer, Rabbi Meisha Sefer. And the other one is the Minchat Laza, Rab Shapiro, Munkach, Rab Leza Shapiro. Now, I have to tell you, a lot of people, again, I come up, when you mention the Munkach, it's like mentioning Satma. So a lot of people hear the word the Munkach, they turn themselves off. I have to tell you, again, I don't agree with many things of the Minchat Laza, Ashkafa, some of his psukim, as you know. I changed a minig in Shtibel and Borough Park, you know, where I came out against the Michalas, and they decided I was right. Fine, they were the Kohen giving, not a Kohen, they would give an Aliyah. I spoke about him in Borough Park, but the Dihav Yuvda, a kid walks into the Shtibel, Nachlat Moshe, and he says, I'm a Kohen. They tell him, we don't give a don. They call up a Yisrael. So I told him, this is impossible. Monday, Thursday, and I quoted from the Rav, and the Rav said that the ganze kriya shtetzuchot, it builds itself, it's built, it's formatted. Kohen Levi Yisrael, very important. The Rav was very opposed to a Kohen walking out. Alacha kamavakamav, the Kohen is sitting there. And they showed me a tshuva of the Minchat Laza. They showed me a tshuva that the Rebbe owns the shul. I remember I got back to Israel and I studied it, researched, and I wrote to them that regardless of the Minchat Laza, it's a disgrace in Borough Park in the year, whatever it was, 1990. And they wrote to me, they stopped. And I'm right, the rabbi agreed that they will honor a Kohen. So the Minchat Laza, very fascinating individual, but I tell you, I love him, and I'll tell you why. When his daughter got married, I'm repeating something I said over the generations. When his daughter got married, they did it, you know, the news then, when you went to the movies, Nathan, you won't even understand this, you went to the movies, you'd see a double feature. Between the starter and between, they would show newsreels. And they did a newsreel, RKO, whatever it was, of the Munkach's wedding. And the Munkach, they came to him, you see him in the carriage with Chassidim, he's going to the chuppah, excuse me, and they interview him. And he didn't want to be interviewed, but they told him, Rebbe, das wird sein in America, wird man das sein, in America they'll see it. So he agreed to be interviewed. Now, what did he say? This is what took my heart. He didn't say, interview America right away. Yidden, men daf haben Geld, men daf haben Kesed, give us stucker, help us, give us stucker money, we're poor. But didn't say one word like that. He said, Yidden in America, ich bet from euch, Zayt Shemesh Shabbos, hit Alp Shabbos, be careful, observe Shabbos. And that was beautiful. He left the message and it was shown in RKO, whatever, in the newsreels. Oh, halavai, some Jews should listen. But it was a difficult struggle. But the Minchat Laza comes out that he paskins lahalach, although he sees both sides of the coin, but he paskins lahalacha that you should do a hatafetam brit lachatchila if the mo is a machala Shabbos, and you'll see all the sources. Now, I'll tell you where they get involved in. This is very interesting. Do we differentiate? There's the Michat Laza. Do we differentiate? And you'll see the source. Rabbi Menashe Klein gives you the exact source. Do we differentiate between doctors in different countries? And you see, here, let's take Hungary. Hungary, you knew where you stood. The Orthodox there, the Chatam Sofer element, Chadash HaSum in the Torah, was very strong, very adamant, very strident. And if you're a Machalu Shabbos, you're a Machalu Shabbos. You're an Oisvav. The Neologues, etc. And I told you, the Rav, again, the Rav never said this in public, but at RCA, when he would stay for a Shabbos beyond the RCA convention after his wife died, and you know, not the practicing rabbis couldn't stay the extra Shabbos, they had to get back to their shuls. But the rabbis like Rabbi Holzer and others, or Rabbi Albert, wouldn't have that big a shul at that time. It was already played out, the neighborhood. They stayed an extra Shabbos. So the Rav would let his hair down. So one time he recollected was the Chatam Sofer right. He said they were so extreme and strident in their point of view, maybe that created the counter-reaction, the neologue. Or on the other hand, had the Chatam Sofer not been so strident, everyone would have become conservative or reformed. So you see, you have to raise the issue when, where. America before modern times? What do you want out of the people? Orthodoxy had no voice. Synagogue council gave you the message, pluralism, pay your nickel, pick your choice. And it's fascinating. And he goes back and forth to Czechoslovakia, Hungary. But one thing, Rabbi Menashe Klein says, with all due respect to the Minchat Laza, in America, certainly, there was less chance to say that they were mezidim lahachis. It's America. No one knew, no one understood. But nevertheless, the Minchat Laza is of the opinion, lachatchila, we should be able to require hatafetam brit. Now, Rabbi Menashe Klein has to struggle with this, because he's a Hungarian and he can't dismiss the Minchat Halasa so easily. However, watch. We're not gonna go further than this today, but watch. He quotes a Chatam Sofer. And if his pshat is right on the Chatam Sofer, it's an overwhelming Kiddush. But it mommy solves all problems. And before we begin the Chasam Telfer, we come into a contemporary problem that haunts us. My dear students, what is Brit Milah? Look at the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. Quoting from the Mishnah at the bottom of the page, Olsin kol tzache mila b'shabes mohalin uporin umotzitzin. Well, what does it mean? The Brit Milah is the cut, the priya. That's the word I was looking for. Porin. The priya is pulling back the foreskin. No, what's the mitzitza? Sucking out the blood. Bill, tell me, the Rav went to a brit, mitzitza b'peh, what did the Rav do?
He said he's a liberal, he'll say nothing like his father. His brother.
You know where that happened? Rabbi Schoenfeld, the great Rabbi Schoenfeld, Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld. It was a unique individual. Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Nathan, you know what we're talking about? The rabbi, young Israel, see a new generation. There's a young man in his mid-20s, and Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld built Kew Gardens Hills. Young Israel of Kew Gardens Hills. Just died this last year or two. A giant. So it was Rabbi Dr. Jacobowitz's brother-in-law. Got it? Rabbi Jacobowitz married to his sister. Rabbi Jacobowitz was married to Monk. Fabian was married to Rabbi Jacobowitz's sister, Zivik Rishon. They were brothers-in-law. Then she died and he remarried a widow. It was a beautiful second marriage, if I have it all right. Rabbi Schoenfeld's son had a Brit and worked in the OU, inherited the shtetl, he's retired today. He lives in Lakewood, if I understand correctly. So the Rav was at the Brit of Rabbi Schoenfeld's grandson. And they come from Gerach Siddim. And the Mol was a Gerach Hasid and Hatzitza B'peh. And the Rav said, "You're lucky, I'm more liberal than my father. Reb Moshe would walk out if you did B'peh, but I'll stay, but I'm not happy about it." Now, what's the shaila? I don't have to tell you, mitzitza B'peh, you convey illness. It can be done with a tube. You can get the blood out, and you don't have to touch the organ. There's no chance of conveying illness. Reb Chaim Briscoe was opposed to mitzitza B'peh. Reb Shimshon Falk Hirsch was opposed. Everyone had an easy solution in modern times. Unfortunately, we know that babies died in New York because of mitzitza b'peh. It's an absolute fact. The Board of Health wanted to outlaw it, but Satman has political influence, and they had to hold back. But I have to tell you, it's a real, real problem. And again, I have with my great-grandchildren, some they did with the tube, some the mold. I'm not a fighter. I'm only the great-grandfather, so I can't make big issues out of it. Although sometimes I was Dafka the Sandik, but I couldn't control the situation. But l'chatchilah is man chazeh, that we understand medicine and germs and conveying illness, we should not do mitzitza b'peh. We should do it with the tube and solve the whole problem. Okay? But you see that drawing the blood is very important. Now, why do we draw the blood? So here you're looking, I photographed here the Steinsaltz Gemara. And by the way, all my critique of Art Scroll is on the history volumes. The Gemaras are fabulous. I've used already Sansino, and I've used Steinsaltz. I mean, I Dafka like to compare, and the Gemaras are fabulous. You got to give a lot of credit. And as I told you, Rabbi Belsky, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, he dealt with all the astronomy, all the mathematics. He was a genius. And they really go out of their way to try to make it as crystal clear as you can make a difficult Gemara. And here they have a footnote. The blood is drawn out of the wound to prevent it from coagulating under the skin and causing the member to swell. And therefore, all these three are crucial, and they're all done on Shabbos, even though it involves Melacha D'Oraita, but Brit Mila Yom Hashmini is Docha Shabbat. Lo to the Gemara Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Bet, this is the Gemara that I've quoted so many times, Amar Rav Papa, Hay Umna Dolom Mi Mayitz, Sakanahu va'avrinen lei pshita And what's the pshat? The expert who does not draw blood from the wound is responsible for creating a danger to the person being circumcised. And we dismiss him. We desecrate Shabbos. We say you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. How are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? Because it's all part of the Brit Milah and the Mitzitza, which is not Milah Priya. You say you did the mitzvah already, but it's a sakana. And Mechalalin et HaShabbos, you don't allow Chas V'Chalila that this kid should have problems because you didn't suck the blood out. So this is Lahalacha. Mitzitza has to be done. But in modern times, when we understand medicine a lot deeper and a lot better, and we have an easy halachic solution, so we're opposed to mitzitza bepeh. All right, ein achinami, I hold it to be sakonet nefasha, because there are actually statistics that kids died in Borough Park because of mitzitza bepeh. So you'll ask how we... What does it mean, sakana? What's the percentage? So all I can tell you is the Brisker Rav was asked this very question, not Reb Chaim, but his son Reb Velvel. And Reb Velvel said, afilu, one in a million is sakonet nefasha. Now I think that's the way the Rav would approach it. I think Reb Chaim Brisker, you all know that with the eating on Yom Kippur, Reb Chaim used to say, ich bin nicht mekel, ich bin makpia in sakonet nefasha. And this is a very important approach. You have no idea of your shyness that you get over the years with fasting, with pregnant women who just gave birth, women who are ill, men that are ill. It's no mitzvah, lahachmir. And it's hard because Yom Kippur means so much to us. Nevertheless, there's a whole diyun if you have to say Yalevi Yovo if you're eating on Yom Kippur. You understand? If you have to make Kiddush, it's Zalo Pashut. And sometimes I understand Reb Chaim, I've encouraged people that you must eat on Yom Kippur, that you have no choice and you have to do it b'simcha. Not to do it with a feeling I'm sinning and etc. I remember in BMT in the early 70s in Rehova Babinel, we had a young man who had real problems with his blood and the sugar and diabetes, and he had to eat on Yom Kippur. And we told him then later in life, I remember Sam Dershowitz, diabetic, he had to eat on Yom Kippur. And Sam was a big Talmud Chacham. So he understood, just as you have a chiyuv to fast, you have a chiyuv to eat. But this is part of sakonet nefashot. And not to do mitzitza on Shabbos would endanger the kid. But on the, so you would say percentage-wise, you don't commit herpes and germs. A lot, you commit that would happen a lot less than if you didn't do the mitzitzah. You follow me? It's like the shaila here with the chisun, with the vaccination. It's true, I know, I told you, I know a young man who died from the vaccination. That's my eldest son-in-law's best friend. They grew up together, went to school together, a father of four little children. He died one day after the second or third vaccination. Mamish died, was healthy, fine. But 1,000 people are saved, it's the percentages. Here we have a solution, we don't have to play percentages. Use a tube. So here, the Chatam Sofer, in his Chidushim to Mesechet Gittin, Taf Chaf Gimel Omid Beis, And it's Chatam Sofer here talking about Maten B'nei Brit. He's quoting the Gemara and what the Gemara means. And what does it mean, Maten B'nei Brit? And the Chatam Sofer gets involved here that even if it's not a proper Brit, what we're concerned with is the end result. And if the end result is that you are mahul, that you are circumcised, no matter which way it happened, you're considered a Ben Brit. Amnam b'nei Brit milahem umilatam mila. And he quotes the Ramah that we don't possibly be ever any type of mila. Ulapirish zeh. Otam ha'umanim rofim ha'mamachalo Shabbos b'prechesia b'ktiva u'bahavarat tabak v'hei mohalim tzrichim. According to the Ramah, la'hatif tam brit mehetinak. Amnon, as I understand it, shomenafsho yechok mehem. V'yerel, these are the key words, V'yerel limtzots dam acha milatam. Now, what is he talking about here? And he says, doctors who are not from, who write on Shabbos, and many doctors, you know, it's not Israel, Baruch Hashem, the hospitals here, they have methods with Shabbos. They record the nurse, the guy, she's not Jewish, an Arab, etc. They write down. They have so different solutions. At one time, they used to write, like kids have these pads. You write them, when you lift up the paper, the writing disappears. We used that in Russia to bring in messages and write. But most doctors wrote on Shabbos. Not only that, they smoked. Today we don't smoke. Today it's a different story how harmful smoking is. You look at movies, and I only watch movies out of the 30s, the 40s. They're different, they're clean, they have plots, they don't walk around naked, etc. But they're always smoking. Today we don't smoke, but he's writing the doctors smoke. So he says, if this is the situation, that the doctor was not a from doctor, he says, be very makpid if you can to have them do mitzitza, to suck out the blood. And Rabbi Menashe Klein says, what's he talking about? What's he alluding to here? And he calls the Chatam Sofer in print a Navi. That the Chatam Sofer, he's a Hungarian, relating to the Chatam Sofer foresaw there'll be a period where you'll have Mohalim, Chalalei Shabbos, etc. You'll get involved with the whole question of Hatafet Dam Brit. If there's Mitzitza and you soak out the blood, that Mitzitza, in addition to being healthy, is also Hatafat Dam Brit. Got it? That's the way he learns Pshat in the Chatam Sofer. What did he mean? What are those words? Limsot Dam Achamilatam. What's he talking about? What's he stressing? He's trying to avoid the whole Chumrah of the Ramah, that years later, the person will wake up and say, the Mo was not from, the Mo was not Shemir Shabbos, the Mo may have been a guy, a doctor. I told you, I had the Shaila with the kid in BMT. His father was a doctor on an army base, irreligious. Who did the Brit Milah on him? Another doctor. May have not even been Jewish. And if he was Jewish, certainly not a Shema Mitzvah. But if someone there can see to it that there's hatafatam, that there's mitzitza, that there's blood drawn, you've solved the whole problem, and we've answered the Ramah, and he calls the Chatam Sofer a Navi. Oh, it's beautiful. That will also explain, I want to end off, this also explains, you see, again, I come back to Eruvin. If you remember my Shayurim, I said Hungarians can't be machmir in relation to Eruv. because the Chatam Sofer gave his Talmud the devil for playing games that the Erev is, it's not real, it's fiction. And Chatam Sofer, this is tradition. This is what we've done throughout the ages. He quotes the Rush, who similarly told off a Talmud. A Hungarian can't be Machmer. You come from Hungary? This will explain Rav Menashe Klein. Everyone wonders, how did he have the guts to take on Rav Moshe Feinstein? Okay, he's a Hungarian. Chatam Sofer. A Litvak can be Machmer, all right. The Kilat Jacob. Right, all right. You want to be Machmer? Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein didn't carry on Shabbos. I don't know in the Gush, but in Yerushalayim, I know he didn't carry. It's not Samach on the Erev, all the problems, Rishut HaRabim, the Oraita, 600,000, etc., etc. But, all right, he could be Machmer. Rabbi Aaron could be Machmer. An Ungarische couldn't be Machmer. It's the Chatam Sofer. So let me reiterate. We haven't finished yet. We have to come back to the Chatam Sofer next week and analyze. We'll see mamish genius on the part of Rav Menachem Klein explaining the Chatam Sofer. But you see, there's more to it. I just gave you the halakhic implication, but the lumdus is, there's Rav Hashem, will come to next week. But let me just reiterate. First of all, I want to welcome two very important guests. Again, I apologize to everyone on the screen. I don't look at them, and I feel bad, because a year ago I only had the screen. I had no one in front of me, so I only looked at the screen. But we have important guests in front of us, and I want to greet Dr. Gavirtz, who may be the greatest living expert on the Jewish, on our calendar. No two ways about it. How many other people have your knowledge in that field? And Dr. Gavirtz still remembers my lectures on International Dateline. Right. Remember what you wrote to me? You're one of the few people who understand. Believe me, I don't understand it now. But then I understood it very well. Those were beautiful lectures. We got calls here occasionally, so David Miller, Rabbi David would always say, I have to Rabbi, call and ask when Rabbi Rakefit is in, he'll answer your question on the Dateline. It's not, there's no real black and white answer. But
lectures on Gayrus were the best.
The Gayrus lectures, right, that's a long time.
25 years ago?
Yeah, you should know, with the Gayrus, everyone asked me today what my opinion is, and I'll tell you the truth. If we have enough Rabbanim who can inspire, we have to do what we can. In other words, I hold, if you can explain Shabbos, I attended a class of my Talmud Rabbi Constantine in Tel Aviv, Tzoha. I walked away inspired. And they insist what's beautiful is you have to come with your Jewish, the man you're going to marry, the woman you're going to, it has to be the Jew and the would-be gear. It's very intelligent. And they assign them to families. What more can you do? Because the problem is overwhelming. Then you raise the issue, all right, out of a 500,000 people, 200,000 became Shomer Shabbos to some extent, and another 100,000 and not. All right, that's already a different question. Where I, oh, my lectures on Rav Moshe, remember my lectures on Rav Moshe? No, so you should know. I gave that lecture in Flatbush, and a big Talmud Chacham was sitting there. When I finished the shiur, he kissed me. He said, "You don't know what you did for me." He said, "I always felt there was something in Rav Moshe that," and he said, "You articulated it." Baruch Hashem.
The thing I remember clearly was when someone told him about the Achiezer. He said, "I'm going to send my son to buy me the sefer." And someone told him about Rav David Zvi Hoffman. He didn't say he's going to get the sefer.
So you should know I'm going to come to that in this class in a week or two with Rav David Zvi Hoffman. In two, 3 weeks I'm going to come to that. Exactly. I'm back where I started from. But it fits in with Rav Menashe Klein. Natan, if he has a feeling for Torah, you'll be dancing on the ceiling. You'll see Rav Meisher after Rav Menashe Klein. So, and I want to welcome Howie Berger. my Talmud only 42 years ago in BMT.
Wow.
And I have to say, he's an honest man, because I always get these emails, we're coming to Israel, we'd like to come to Yeshia. And I write back, I'm teaching this, that, date, where, when. 1 out of 20 shows. The other 19, they get here. They're, why would we got to go here? What are you going to waste your time going to hear that dummy rakefet? We got to go to Tel Aviv. We have to go to the Golan. Yeah, got to go anywhere. Shopping. There's all right, Baruch Hashem, shopping, whatever you want. But they never show up here. And why waste my time to answer you? Howie, you wrote twice. I have both letters right in front of me. We answered you twice, and here you are. Kala kavod. Vic, so what did we accomplish today? First of all, you have to understand that my life evolves around these two Sheirim, and I'm a very happy man because I could give Torah, and even that little Chatam Sefer, wait till you see next week what Rav Menashe Klein does with it, and you'll see the genius in Rav Menashe Klein. Is he right or wrong? I'm not certain, but you'll hear next week. Okay. But the problem is real, and we can recreate life, and we see two things. One, that they're Balei Tshuva, that we never dreamt, hundreds of thousands today. Two, that America, not just America, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Germany, Britain, the whole breakdown, that a Jew, you say, you're a Mechallel Shabbos, an Eisfaf, a Pushtak, he'll look at you, why do I, I'm a Jew like everyone else. And this is a problem. And I've dealt with this problem. I also dealt with it in the interview. I was interviewed on Wednesday. Natan, were you here? No, not for the interview. There's a whole shit.
I didn't realize people were coming in.
Yeah, and I announced it was open if anyone wanted to come. It was an hour and 40 minutes. I was wiped out. Like, I'm not used to teaching three times a week. Twice a week, and I have a lot on my plate. It's not so simple. I'm trying to proofread the article and writing further, my own learning, and a wife and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and shopping and food. And you're older. It takes twice as much time to do half as much as I was able in the past. So I said, we have a real problem. You have to be nice, reformed. The other thing, we have to make clear, Torah is Torah. And you're my solution. I carried on. If they're interviewing Amedi, I'm free to say what I want. If you want to hear what Rakefet thinks, all right, think he's a fanatic, but pay your nickel and take your choice. But I gave a whole program. But this is a real problem, and there's no question a Mechallel Shabbos in the year 2023 is a Tinuk Shenishba. Even Julia Hart, I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. Why do I pick on her? Because she's in the news. And I remember I was overwhelmed when the Post declared her one of the most influential people. And my Talmidim know her. You think she's a stranger? She was a assistant principal of the day school in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have Talmidim who teach there, children go there, etc. I wouldn't miss tomorrow's shiur for all the bullets that are being fired, lo aleinu, in the Ukraine. Tomorrow we pick up with Satmar. And they have achieved, they're here, and we start tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem. What does the Satmar Rebbe really think? What is his position? And as I said, don't argue, and don't, just try to understand him. We'll refute him. It'll take, believe me, I decided to spend a nice few months refuting him. But first, let's understand him well. Okay, if there are no questions on this side of the ocean, do we meet again in health and happiness? Das Vidanya. Open it up to the world now. Okay.
All right.
Are there any questions from around the world now? Can you hear me? Everyone hears me? London hears me? Okay. The United States hears me? Okay, no questions. Okay, until we meet again, is anyone trying to ask? No, okay. Until we meet again in health and happiness tomorrow at 9 a.m. Israel time. By the way, I think they changed the clock in America.
Yes, today.
Oh, my God. So now it's a six-hour difference. So when we begin, it's 3 o'clock, 3 a.m. All right, 3 a.m. is easier. I wake up 3 a.m., no big deal. Okay, until we meet again in health and happiness, and I have to thank Mark who's taken over today until we meet again. I used the Russian word and people criticized me. How dare you use a Russian word if the Ukraine was invaded? But what you don't know is that the Ukrainians over 40, their native language is Russian. Not just Yomo, but even the president of the Ukraine, Zelensky, the Jewish president, his native language is Russian. Ukrainian was a secondary language, as Yomo explained to me. So I will use that word in dignity, Dasvidaniya. Thank you so much.